You didn't know it, but you took me in my heart and mind tonight back to Romania. The first time that I heard this song sang, number 757, soon and very soon, the very first time I heard this sang was in a poverty-stricken home in Romania with four little children ranging in ages from 10 down to 4 years old. We had gone to visit them because the family that I stay with when I am in Romania wanted to go and visit them because they were having such a very hard time. They were having difficulty, first of all, because of the lack of food and the lack of heat, the lack of any funds. But the greatest problem they had was that their father and husband had left them 2 months before. They didn't have anything while he was with them. But after he was gone, they had even less. When we went into the home, there was no food there. There was no heat in the house. When we came in, the lady was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she had been having children's meetings in her little, well, it was a block house. We called them block houses. They were like our apartment buildings here in America, but not comfortable like the ones that we have here. They are only made of concrete, and they are cold, and there are no elevators in them. One of the things I delighted in saying to Mr. and Mrs. Angelecki every time we went into one of those buildings and we had to climb up to the third and fourth floor by the stairs was, I would say to them, "Unde you vetro?" And they would look at me and laugh and say, "David, non you vetro." None. There is no elevator here. You have to walk the stairs. Well, back in those early days, I could do that with no problem. I still do it when I have to, but I have them go on ahead of me because it'll take me a half hour to get to the top, and they are already up there visiting and having a good time, and finally I will show up. But the first time I heard this song sung was by those little children sitting on that couch in that cold apartment. They had no reason to be happy. Not from the human point of view. They had no reason to be rejoicing, and yet they did. And that which stuck with me so much was that words, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King." There'll be no more crying there. There'll be no more problems there. And when I came away from that home, and I came back to America, that vision stays in my mind, and I think of it often. And every time I feel like complaining because maybe things are a bit difficult, or maybe I didn't get the food that I thought I should have today. Oh, I had food, but maybe it just wasn't exactly what I wanted in the Lord. Reaches down, taps me on the shoulder, and says, "David, shame on you. Think about those who have nothing." So I enjoyed that song tonight. Thank you so much for that. What I wanted to talk to you tonight about comes from the book of Revelation. I have been enjoying the book of Revelation of late. Been enjoying it very, very much, but I've been enjoying reading through the messages that were given to the seven churches. I believe the last time I spoke to you, concerning one of the churches there in Romania. Or, sorry, in you know where my mind is today. One of the churches that was there in Asia. Tonight I would like to talk to you from the church at Sardis. Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. We'll read from verse 1 down through verse 6. He says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." That which I wanted to draw your attention to tonight is found in verse 2, where it says, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. You know, one of the things that I like to do in life, I like to take something that is wore out, maybe something that has a lot of wear in it, and refurbish it, to take it and make it better again, so that it is at least useful. It may not be brand new, but it is useful again. In the printing trade, we have our printing blankets that we print on. It's a rubber blanket. And sometimes those blankets, they get wore out, they get hard, they get covered with too much dried ink and dirt and paper dust and so on. And so we have to do a thing that is called rejuvenation. We rejuvenate that rubber. We clean it thoroughly, and it'll never be like it was brand new again, but it is useful again for quite some time. And when I look at this church, when I look at all of the churches in the book of Revelation, I understand the concept of dispensational truth with the seven churches, and I don't dispute that at all. But when I read them, I like to read them in the sense in which they were written, in the sense that all of those churches were existing at the same time there in Asia. And when I read through these seven churches, I like to think in this way, that all over the world, there are different attitudes. There are different measures of devotion to the Lord. And when I read through it, I like to see myself in it. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have in life, I have it, all of us have it, is we like to point at someone else and say, well, that doesn't make the Lord happy when we do that. Doesn't make him happy. I like to read these in the sense that this was written to me. This is for my edification. This is for my encouragement. And I like this concept of be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Apparently, Sardis was a church that had gotten very much involved in the world. It seems that way. There were many there who were professing Christians. But there were many, though they professed Christ, apparently didn't really know Him. You know, that's where we are at in the world today. All around us, there are people who are claiming to be Christians. You ask almost anyone in America today, do you believe in God? And most of them will say, yes, I do. Well, have you been born again? Well, I go to church. I do this, I do that. But that's not what I ask you. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I had an exciting thing happen to me just Friday. There's a young girl that works at the shop where I work. She started some weeks ago. And I was downstairs running the letterpress. And she came down. She had some things to do there. And she was quite intrigued with the machine that I was running. The machine is actually older than I am. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very old machine, and she was intrigued with what was happening with it. So we were talking, and then as we talked along, I asked her, I said, Jenny, do you have any hobbies? And she looked down at the floor for a moment and seemed a little bit shy. And so I waited for her. And finally she said, well, my hobby is to read the Bible. My hobby is to study the Word of God. And she said it apologetically. It's because she has said so many times to others, as she explained to me as we got talking. She said, when she tells people that they look at her like she is a little strange. And they don't want to talk about it anymore. But when she told me that, I looked at her and I said, that is awesome. That is wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. So then my question is, are you born again? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Yes. And I know Him. I came to know Him some years ago. As it turned out, she is the only one in her family who knows the Lord. She was telling me how she came to know the Lord. She had gotten far into the things of the world, into the vices of the world, if you will. She was a heavy alcoholic, drinking heavily, drug use, into all kinds of lascivious things that she was doing. But she had a person that she knew and kind of liked, and one day that person, who was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, said to her, if you don't come to know the Lord, you're going to go to hell. Oh, Jenny said, that made me so mad. It made me so mad. I went home, and I had a Bible there, and I took that Bible, and I threw it across the room. I was so angry with what that friend of mine said to me. I was going to tear it to pieces, and then something inside of me said, don't do that. Don't do that. You should read it. She started to read the Bible. And as she was reading the Word of God, she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, when I hear those things, it thrills my heart. It makes me rejoice in the Lord. And I said to her, well, what about your vices? What about your habits? And she said, you know, when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I never took another drink of liquor. I never touched it again. It was as if it was gone. I didn't have the need for it anymore. She's rejoicing in the Lord. And I said to her, you know, Jenny, the only way that could happen is through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And there is something else, Jenny. And this is what I want to talk to you folks briefly about tonight. The Holy Spirit of God was working in your heart, and you didn't even know it. The Holy Spirit of God was whispering to you. And when that girl said that to you, your friend said that to you, it made you angry. Praise the Lord that you got angry. Praise the Lord that you went home and you took your Bible and you read it. So what I wanted to talk to you about tonight is the working of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we hear all kinds of talk today about how we should go about evangelism. All kinds of talk today about programs of how to do it. You can go to any Bible and bookstore and they'll line you up with a great, huge program of how to launch an evangelistic outreach in your church. Here's how you do it, by the numbers. I was speaking to a pastor of a very happy, successful ministry. I was talking to him, and he said, we were talking about this working of the Holy Spirit of God. And I asked him, how do you think it is that your church is so successful? And he said, oh, that's easy to answer. I pray for specific individuals. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will work in their lives. That when they hear the word, the seed is sown in their hearts, the soil of their hearts is ripe to receive it. This pastor said one time I was invited to come to a church, and I was asked to tell about the success of my church. And when I finished, they had one question for me. What was your strategy? That is what the leaders of that church asked. What was your strategy? How did you accomplish this? And he said, prayer. No, that's not what we meant. What is your strategy? And he repeated, prayer. He said they never did catch on. They never did get it. All the programs in the world will not save souls. If the Holy Spirit of God is not at work in the hearts and minds of those that you are trying to reach, then they have a deaf ear. He that hath ears to hear, it says at the end of our thought in Revelation chapter 3, verse 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Lord Jesus Christ repeated that several times himself in saying, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And what did he mean by that? He said, no man can come unto me except he be drawn by my Father. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He's talking about the sower that went forth to sow. He talked about how the seed was sown, and you know the story. Some fell upon stony ground, and some fell upon a hard path. Some fell amongst the thistles, and so on. And it didn't grow. Some of it took root for a little bit, and then it was gone. It died, it withered and died. Only that seed that fell upon the good ground that was prepared, it could take root and did and produce fruit. We want to see growth in people's lives. Pray that the Holy Spirit of God will work in their hearts. It'll open their hearts and prepare it to receive the word. And then, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'd like to read this little letter here, as though it was written to me. And that the Holy Spirit of God had me in mind 2,000 years ago when he had John write this. He had me in mind. He had you in mind. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I want to tell you a little story. My time is gone, and I could go on and on and on about this. But I'll tell you a little story of what the Lord did in my heart when I went into Romania that first year. I may have told you before, and if you remember it, you forgive me. I'm getting older, and I can't remember what stories I've told you and which ones I haven't. When I went into Romania that first time, I went with several sermons prepared ahead of time to preach in Romania. My thought was, wow, I'm going to get to preach on the other side of the world. I'm going to get to preach in Romania. Hardly no one gets to do that. I'm going to get to go. And I was anxious to preach in their churches. Understand when I say their churches, they were assemblies like we are at Northwest Gospel Hall and so on. And I was anxious to do that. I wanted to show them what a grand preacher I was. When I got into Romania that very first night, when I laid in that home, and there was no food, there was no heat. It was in March. It was actually warmer outdoors than it was in the house when I got up in the morning. And so they would open the doors and windows to let the, quote, warmth, unquote, in. I would wake up and there may be ice on the little water glass that I had by my bedside. Just a thin layer of ice over the top of it. It was so cold. That first night as I laid in my bed, the Lord came to me in the person of the Holy Spirit of God and said silently to me in my mind and in my conscience, David, I'm not going to let you preach those sermons in Romania. Well, what will I preach? And the Holy Spirit of God said this to me. You will preach what I tell you. You will tell them the truth about yourself. Oh, dear God, I didn't want to do that. I wanted them to think of me as a great preacher in America. I'm not a great preacher in America, but I was 7,000 miles away from home. Who would know? But the Lord took all those sermons away, and I took them, I tore them up that night. And when I got into the first pulpit in Romania, I stood there for 2 minutes. My translator standing next to me, and I was totally silent. I couldn't speak. And finally, my translator whispered to me, are you going to say something or not? So I finally opened my mouth, and this is what came out. It's a little story that the Lord gave to me, and it has followed with me the rest of my life. When I came back from Romania, I came back a different man. The story was this. There was once a little boy. He had a little garden. It was his own. And he could plant anything he wanted in that little garden. And he loved that little garden. He made sure that the rows were straight, there were no weeds in it, and anyone who came to the farm, he wanted to take them down and show them his little garden. But as time went on, the little boy matured more and he became a young man. Other things were taking his attention. They were not bad things, but they were taking his mind away from his little garden, and weeds began to grow. They weren't so bad, but they were there. And after some years, the weeds got bigger and bigger. And finally, one day, a friend came to that boy. When he became a man, a friend came to him and pulled out of his pocket a photograph. And he showed it to the man. And the man took it and he looked at it. And he recognized a picture of his garden when he was a little boy. And it was so clean and so beautiful. And there was his garden now. And the old man sat down next to his garden and he cried. Before I could finish the story, the old women in the audience, they were poking each other and whispering. And my translator said to me, "David, they already know that you are going to say that you are that man." Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is so easy for us to get away from the Lord. We get caught up with so many things, sports events, hunting, fishing, parties, what have you. And we get away from spending time alone with the Lord in this book. And that's what had happened to me. I came back from Romania a different man. I've tried to make changes in my life. But I know this, that if I don't spend time in the Word of God, alone, where no one else knows, no one else sees, if I don't spend time alone in the Word of God, in time of prayer, on my knees, the weeds will grow again in my garden. When I depart this earth, it is my prayer to God that my garden will not have so many weeds in it. That is my prayer to God. And it is my prayer for you in America, where we live, where the true things of God are weakening and getting less and less. And thus my thought, to me, the Holy Spirit of God, strengthen those things that remain. How do we do that? By encouraging our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Taking off the false fronts that we wear. And letting people see the real person that you are. So, when I think about Peter, and I'm finished with this, the Lord said to Peter, "Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren." Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, may we be doing that. Strengthening each other and encouraging each other. The times are bad. We live in terrible times. We need to encourage each other to stay in the Word of God. Like the children were singing the song, "I'm going to see the King, and may I act like I am going to see Him." Thank you for listening. I didn't do justice to what I wanted to tell you tonight. I had so much to tell you. So much I was going to say. But just before I came up here tonight, I said, "Lord, I am not ready for this tonight. So you will have to fill my mouth." Thank you. And may the Lord work in all of our hearts, my heart and your heart, tilling the soil, making it ready for the seed, that it will grow and produce fruit. Let's look to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, sometimes we just feel like that we have failed. Father, I just want to say thank you that you allow me to continue to work in your vineyard. Sometimes I wonder why you do. Why do you let me keep on? But you do. And then you come and you give me a special task. Give us all a special task. Strengthen those things that remain. Father, may we do that. And encourage each other to keep on keeping on. Thank you, Father, for your Son and for your faithfulness to us. May we be faithful to you in the name of your beloved Son. Amen.